Good afternoon. I'm calling this meeting of the Taxes Committee to order for March 17th, 2023. Welcome. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for March 16th. Representative Lissegaard.
So moved.
Excellent. So Representative Lissegaard has moved the meetings, the meeting minutes for March 16th. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. Motion is adopted, and the minutes for March 16th are approved. Okay, so first up, we have House File 1870, Representative Ream. Welcome to the committee. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to move that House File 1870 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Ream, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone who celebrates. Thank you for hearing House File 1870, a bill I am carrying for the city of Chanhassen. House File 1870 provides a sales tax exemption for construction materials for a new city hall, a senior center, council chambers, and park amenities in the city of Chanhassen. The bill covers purchases between January 2024 and February 27. And if you would permit it, we have the mayor of Chanhassen here, Mayor Elise Ryan, and she will be able to discuss more our plans for a civic campus.
That's great. Welcome to the committee, Mayor Ryan. Thank you for being with us. Please just identify yourself at the beginning and go ahead with your testimony.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Elise Ryan, and I am the mayor of Chanhassen. I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing House File 1870 today. We also want to thank Representative Ream for being a champion for our community. Thank you very much. House File 1870 provides a sales tax exemption for construction materials for the city of Chanhassen for the upcoming public facilities improvements. Specifically, the bill provides exemption for our senior center, city hall, council chambers, and park amenities. The Chanhassen City Hall was built more than 40 years ago when the population of Chanhassen was less than 7,000 people. Today we serve nearly 27,000 residents from that same facility and we are continuing to grow. The building is difficult for residents to navigate, and between deferred maintenance needs and operational efficiency needs, it has exceeded its useful life. Chanhassen is a regional destination for services, including the Senior Center, which will be expanded with this project. Madam Chair, committee members, House File 1870 would reduce the total project cost for the planned facility improvements, and we greatly appreciate your consideration. Thank you for your time today, and we are available to answer any questions.
Excellent. Thank you for your testimony, Mayor Ryan. Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify on this bill? Not seeing any, we'll move to member discussion. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Representative Anderson.
Oh, well, only that maybe we should do this blanket. Think about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Representative Lissegaard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author. Thank you for bringing this forward as a former city councilor and a mayor, and thank you, Mayor, for coming here. I know that definitely the challenges and thinking ahead and planning and what this will do for your community. So. Thank you.
All right. Is there any other member question or comment? Seeing none, I'll go to Representative Ream for final comments. I, too, just want to thank you for advocating for your city and all the work that you're doing at the Capitol. I really appreciate it. Representative Ream.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and members. So the city of Chanhassen, we're known for being a community for life. We have the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We have Paisley Park. We have a beautiful landscape arboretum. We have a lot of great amenities, but we need more community spaces. Mm-hmm. And I live not too far from a place where there's an old gas station. And for many years, older residents from our community would just hang out there and, you know, talk about everything under the sun. And we need more formal gathering spaces, you know, so this would be a great asset to our community if we can build out and expand what we have right now so people can come together. People of all different ages and socioeconomic levels would be really great to have. Thank you
Excellent.
So much.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Representative Ream. And with that, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 1870 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And it is laid over. Thanks so much for being here. Next up, do we have Torkelson here? Oh, yeah. We have House File 2655. Representative Torkelson, welcome to the committee. I'm going to move that House File 2655 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Oh, you brought a whole posse with you, huh? Hello. Welcome, everyone. Please describe your bill, Rep. Torkelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for allowing this bill to be heard before the Tax Committee today. I have two experts with me that will fill out details, but basically it's tax relief.
Yes. Hello, Madam Chair and committee. Thank you.
Sorry.
For the opportunity to be here. My name is Todd Lee. I'm the superintendent at Red Rock Central, and it's almost surreal. I used to be a house page 21 years ago in that old cassette player over there. I used to sit there and take notes on the minute. So very surreal experience for me today. So about our bill, one thing, we passed a school referendum, and our neighboring district here did as well, in 2021, and unfortunately, because of a lot of different issues, inflation being kind of the largest issue, we've run into some being over budget quite a bit. So yeah, we've kind of asked for this sales tax exemption for our district. It would mean right around $1.1 million, and yeah, if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Lee. Next up, the Superintendent Kotke.
My name is Keith Kotke, Superintendent of the Springfield School District. Madam Chair and committee members, thank you for letting me speak on House File 2655. For our school district, we have a project that's in motion, but we aren't able to fully deliver all of the deliverables that we want to our community, to the tune of about $1.3 million. And, you know, for school districts, we really have a pretty specific process to follow when we put a bond referendum together. It includes a review and comment paperwork that we need to file with the Department of Ed, and there's quite a bit of work and due diligence that includes getting experts like architects and engineers and construction managers to give you a best guess as to what the cost estimate is. And when you submit that paperwork, it's 18 months before you get your bid. And so, you know, between 2021 and 2022, we all know how inflation has hit construction by, I want to say it's 20-some percent, that it increased to 25% over those 2 years. And so it's hard for school districts to do this in real time. And so for our school district, we have some projects that would update our locker rooms to be ADA accessible in our band room. And if you're ever looking to videotape the show Hoosiers, we've got the space for you because it's that antiquated. But those are the deliverables that would really be beneficial for our students and our community. And we thank you for your consideration for a sales tax exemption, because that would narrow the gap. It wouldn't completely close it, but it would really narrow the gap where we might be able to obtain those other projects.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Superintendent Kotke. Moving now to member discussion. Anyone? Representative Howard.
Chair and Representative Torkelson, I'd also be remiss if I didn't take a walk down memory lane. My first political job was as an organizer, door knocking door to door with Mr. Lee. And so he found his way out of politics, me not so much. But it's great to see him here. And I just want to lend my support and just highlight, you know, we talk a lot about the need for equity when we talk about education, and some of our rural school districts really are struggling for a variety of reasons, and especially some of the challenges mentioned, I think, are felt in schools all across the state. It's important, and I appreciate you being here to share those concerns with us.
All right. Thank you very much. Representative Kosnick.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think if this provision would be included in your tax bill, it might provide some impetus for the Senate Republicans to get some capital infrastructure deals that they were looking for.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Anything we can do on that front? Happy to lend our support. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, thank you so much for being here, everyone. We really appreciate it. If you guys have made a long trip, we're thankful that you're here. Oh, sorry, Representative Torkelson, did you have any final comments for the committee? Or
I have some comments on the next bill. It'll fit just fine.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. With that, the chair is going to renew her motion that House File 2655 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and it is laid over. All right, next up, we have a House File 2804, which is a Representative Keel bill, but she's not able to be with us today, and so Representative Torkelson has kindly agreed to present that bill. The chair is going to move that House File 2804 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Torkelson to Representative Keel's bill.
I did mean to say that Superintendent Lee may no longer be in partisan politics, but as a superintendent, I think he would agree that he's still very politically involved.
He's in the mix, that's for sure.
Madam Chair, Representative Keel's bill, the number being 2804, is a very similar bill to the one that was just represented. I think I could just say ditto, because the situation in Red Lake County School District is pretty much identical to the situation that's faced by these superintendents with building costs that have accelerated dramatically due to inflation.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Representative Torkelson. Is there any discussion to House File 2804? Seeing none, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 2804 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And with that, it is laid over. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for adjusting the schedule.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Please grab a Sambuca on your way out because I don't want to take a bunch of them up to my office.
What is it?
It's like a pastry, a savory pastry.
Yeah, it's a meat pie.
There's it's a meat pie. That's what it's called. Okay. There's chicken, lentil, or beef. Okay.
No pork.
No pork. Not in this particular. Oh, and now there's some Gomez bills. Okay, cool.
They're good. I can't figure out what that spice is, so that I'm tasting.
There's fennel and I think thyme. Yeah, there's fennel in there for sure. Okay. So, Chair Gomez, do you have a motion? Would you like to move House File 2911 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill?
Yes, please, Madam Chair.
Okay, so moved. And before we continue, I understand there's an author's amendment, the
yes,
A1.
Yeah.
Would you like to move the A1 to be adopted?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay, discussion on the amendment. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposition? Okay, the amendment is adopted. Chair Gomez, would you like to discuss your bill as amended?
Yes, please, Madam Chair. So this bill, 2911, would expand the drawdown of the June accelerated sales tax collection that basically is one of those often discussed budgetary tricks that we used in previous years to, I don't want to say like, to balance our spreadsheets. That's the charitable way of talking about it. So, we have over time moved a lot of these sales tax collections. We repealed the June accelerated collection of these sales taxes. So this one just adds cigarette and alcohol taxes, or cigarette and tobacco taxes, liquor taxes, and the mortgage registry and deed taxes to that drawdown of the June accelerated shift.
Great, thank you. Are there members of the public who'd wish to testify on House File 2911? Okay, so seeing none, we are going to move to member discussion. And I have first on my list, Rep. Anderson.
Thank you, Madam chair, I guess, is that the right title?
Yeah. Interim chair? Yeah, or chair lead.
Chair lead, okay.
Chair lead breaks.
I think this is great. In times of surplus, we should be making the shifts back. This is a trick used forever by this legislature, and so this is a great bill. Thank you.
Are there other members who'd wish to comment? Okay, Chair Gomez, closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for the consideration. Let's undo the budgetary tricks.
Great. So the chair renews her motion that House File 2911 be laid over for possible consideration in the omnibus tax bill. House File 2911, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Okay, so moving right along, Chair Gomez, would you like to move House File 2963 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill?
So moved, Charlie.
Great. And I understand, is there an amendment? Oh, okay. So there is no amendment. Great. Would you like to give us an overview of your bill?
Yeah. So this is the local aid payment shift. It's a really similar to kind of undoing the June accelerated. There was a choice made in the past to move local aid payments across the fiscal year, and this just undoes that shift.
Great. And then, so we're going to move to witness testimony. I have first on my list Nathan Justin. Great. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your organization for the record.
Hi, Madam Chair and Chair Gomez. My name is Nathan Justin. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities.
Great. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity to testify on House File 2963. I thought I'd give some background on kind of the history on this. Earlier payment dates, in addition to kind of undoing this budget shift, would help address cash flow issues that come up for cities. The budget shift for this one was put into place a long time ago. There would also be a benefit to cities receiving part of their LGA payment before July 1, since sometimes the amount and timing of LGA has been in flux during uncertain budget times in past years. The legislature used to have a March payment date for LGA, but the last time it did was 1981. Yeah. In the 1970s, LGA was distributed in quarterly payments, and then we were facing significant budget deficits in the early 80s, and that's kind of when it moved to closer to the current structure, when you wouldn't have any of the distributions going out before July 1. Under the current July and December distribution dates, cities don't have a significant revenue source coming in between the aid in December and property taxes that come in May to June. So a proposal like this, in addition to undoing that budget shift, would help address city cash flow and potentially reduce the need for cities to hold as deep as reserves as some do under current law. So also, some more recent history, in 2017, the legislature also did a one-time prepayment of LGA of $80 million. So there's been other recent action on it as well. So just like to thank Chair Gomez for carrying the bill and looking at these budget shifts in general.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Justin. That's all I have on the list of testifiers who signed up ahead of time. Are there members of the public who wish to testify on this bill? Okay. Seeing none, we will move to member discussion. Oh, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Lee. I'm trying to get my arms around the timing. So current law, the first payment would be due for the next fiscal year this July and then December. And now we're shifting. I guess I haven't read the bill language, but are we actually shifting this back 6 months?
Mr. Swanson.
Chair Lee and Representative Anderson, so this change wouldn't be in effect until aids payable in calendar year 2024. So under current law, the first half payment date for a number of these aids is July 20th, and that July 20th date in 2024 under this bill would be moved up to March.
Okay. Chair Anderson, follow up?
No, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Swanson. Very important for our cities, right, to map this and schedule it out. So any other members wish to comment before we close out? Chair Gomez, last words?
Oh, just thank you for the consideration. Thanks to Mr. Jessen for coming up here, because I probably couldn't have answered that question even though we turned it over to House Research, but appreciate the consideration.
Wonderful. Thank you. So Chair Gomez renews her motion that House File 2963 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And House File 2963 is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Oh, we're doing a bunch of musical chairs okay. Here. Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, Representative Koznick.
So I wanted to, make sure I was here for the chair's fabulous bills. There are other committees going on, but I want to make sure whoever brought the treats gets credits before I leave, and I don't want to leave before I'm invited to partake.
Oh, please, by all means, Representative Koznick, on your way out of committee, wherever you have to go, please grab a sambusa.
Well, I appreciate it, and thank you.
All right, we'll see you. All right, thank you, Representative Norris, for rushing over, because we're just moving real quickly through and efficiently through our agenda today. So next up is House File 2022. Vice Chair Norris, would you like to move that it be laid over?
Yes, Chair Gomez, I'd move House File 2022.
Excellent. Representative Norris has moved that House File 2022 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. To your bill.
Thank you, Chair Gomez and members. Members, this, I think, is the first time we've had a chance to talk about manufactured housing here in the Tax Committee this session, but we've been having some extensive conversations about it over in the Housing Committee. Representative Feist and I have a number of bills that we've been bringing forward and have been really engaged in a lot of conversations with the various stakeholders, the resident advocates, the park owners, to try to find a solution to some of the challenges we're seeing here in Minnesota around manufactured housing, but also more broadly across the country. And I think House File 2022 and the tax credits that are included in it are going to be a really important part of the final package that we put together around manufactured housing. So this legislation attempts to increase resident ownership of manufactured home communities through an incentive approach, namely an income tax credit for the sellers. My testifier, Mr. Hansen, will explain the bill in greater detail, but really the purpose of this legislation is to preserve and expand affordable homeownership in the most cost-effective way possible, essentially creating a win-win situation. It's estimated that this legislation could convert 2 to 6 parks to resident ownership each year. And in doing so, we'd be preserving hundreds of units of home ownership and keeping millions of dollars here in the state, all while costing the state less than $1 million per biennium. And, when you look at what it takes to preserve naturally occurring affordable housing, that's a pretty good deal if you look at it on a per unit basis. As I mentioned, we've got kind of all the stakeholders behind this particular piece of legislation, and you're going to have a chance in a moment to hear from them.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative Norris. Joel Hansen, thank you for joining us. Please introduce yourself and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. My name is Joel Hansen. I am with North Country Cooperative Foundation. For those of you who are unaware, we're a nonprofit who helps manufactured homeowners purchase the communities in which they reside. Very quickly, 87% of manufactured homeowners in the state of Minnesota that live in a manufactured home community own their home, but not the land underneath their home. And so what we attempt to do is try to bring some stability to their housing situations and have resident-owned cooperatives in which now the residents are running those manufactured home communities, similar to like a housing association might be ran. So what does this bill do? This bill has a incentive for park owners to sell their communities to the residents that live there. It's a 5% credit. The revenue or the fiscal note shows that it's roughly around $730,000 in this biennium. So as Representative Norris says, under $1 million for the biennium. And what this does is it provides some leverage for those residents in those negotiations to be able to come to the park owner and say, hey, if you sell your community to us, not only are you going to benefit, but we're also going to benefit as well. So I don't need to go much further into detail. I'll stand for questions for members, but thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for being here. Representative Koznick.
Yeah, for open for member discussion.
Well, if we could, we just have one more testifier, yeah, and then we will go to member discussion. Is that cool?
The microphone.
Okay. How are we doing today?
I'll eat some more of your treats.
Okay, good. Please do. Next up, if you wouldn't mind just staying close by, Mr. Hansen, Mark Bruner. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself as you start your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mark Bruner with the Manufactured Modular Home Association of Minnesota. Manufactured modular homes are the state's largest source of non-subsidized affordable workforce housing. There are about 15 plants in the state building modular homes, and another four that build manufactured homes. We represent them, as well as the nearly 1,000 manufactured home communities in Minnesota that are home to about 50,000 families or homes. So I'd like to thank Representative North for working with the industry on coming up with a solution to a problem that has existed for residents in seeking to own the manufactured home community that they reside in, and that's a way to offer some type of an incentive to an existing owner to sell to them. And we think that the tax credit approach, or sort of the carrot approach, is a good way to proceed. And we'd just like to again thank Representative North for this approach.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Bruner, for being here. And we're going to move to member discussion. I just want to also thank Representative Norris and for, you know, doing this work. I know that this is the kind of, you know, preserving manufactured homes has been a body of work in the legislature over several years. And you may have noticed I'm not very kindly disposed toward most tax credits, but this is one that I really think I'm going to very carefully consider it as we're putting together an omnibus tax bill, because of this critical source of affordable housing that's unsubsidized. A lot of it is in greater Minnesota, is in places where that, you know, we've talked even in this committee about sort of that disconnect between what it costs to build housing and what you can charge for it in certain communities. So just thanks. I know this represents a lot of work. So Representative Kosnick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate your comments and favorability, or likely favorability to it. I grew up in a family where my dad actually made a career out of selling and having a mobile home dealership, but also my community is affluent as many people are with single family homes. We also have a number of mobile home parks that do provide a good balance of housing and workforce housing, as was mentioned. So I'm encouraged to see some agreement between the mobile home industry and the residents. So I hope that you do give this some strong consideration, and I appreciate it. And Representative Norris, you've got too many tax bills that I kind of like.
I'll take that as a compliment, Representative Cosney.
Thank you. Representative Witte.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Thank you, Chair Representative Norris, for bringing this bill forward. I don't know if this is for you or nonpartisan, but can they also use the unrealized losses as deductions as part of this?
Representative Norris, would you like us to go to Mr. Klayman on that one?
That would be true.
When we start talking about unrealized anything, I start looking toward Mr. Klayman.
Mr. Hansen and I were pointing at each other. Okay. So Mr. Klayman can save us, hopefully.
Mr. Klayman. If we need follow-up, that's good, too.
Madam Chair and Representative, yeah, I think I'd need to follow up later on that.
Okay. Yep. Thank you for the question. Representative Witte.
Thank you.
Great. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just really thank you to the author of the bill for identifying the problems with trying to ensure that our investments stay local. You know, we had a really nice piece of testimony that was submitted to us, basically talks about how this type of a tax credit really attempts to negate the negative effects of capital gains tax on individuals who are just trying to ensure that the resources that we have here in the state of Minnesota stay in Minnesota. So I appreciate that, and thanks for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to comment? Representative Howard. I was just like staring at him saying that. Like, I know you're going to say something, Representative.
Thanks, Norris. I kind of can't help myself.
I know.
We have had a lot of conversation about manufactured housing in our housing community, and I really want to thank Representative Norris for being a leader on these issues. And, you know, in this space, we have seen a lot of out-of-state folks come in and purchase the parks. Some have managed them well, some have not managed them well. And this really is part of a solution, I think, that helps folks own their own homes. And, you know, the relative amount of investment we're talking here for the impact for those parks is huge. And so I just think it's a really wise investment with a big return for Minnesotans and for those park owners to own their own home.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll go back to Vice Chair Norris for some closing comments.
Thanks, Chair Gomez. And one thing I neglected to mention at the top, I've talked about it a lot in the Housing Committee, I actually have the most most manufactured housing of any house district in the state. So this is an issue that's near and dear to my district. And I think this tool that we've brought before us is a really effective way to give the residents some self-determination to preserve naturally occurring affordable housing, all while doing right by the owners.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Representative Norris. And with that, Representative Norris renews his motion that House File 2022 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and it is laid over. Thank you. Representative Norris is not going anywhere. Would you like to move that House File 743 be laid over for possible inclusion?
I will do so. I so move.
Excellent. So Representative Norris has moved his bill to House File 743.
Chair Gomez, on this one, we've got...
Oh, we have
the amendment.
Yeah, thank you so much. So, Representative Norris, would you like to move the A3?
I would move the A3, Chair Gomez.
Excellent. Is there any discussion to... Oh, A1, A3? No. Okay, A3. Is there any discussion to the A3 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A3, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. A3 is adopted. The bill is in the form the author would like. And to your bill, Representative Norris, thank you.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. I'm starting to feel like we're in the Housing Committee here instead of the Tax Committee.
Love it.
Yeah.
Our Housing Chair and Vice Chair are here, so we're down.
So, you know, another thing we've talked about, not just within the realm of manufactured housing, but more broadly in the Housing Committee, is that we're really in a housing affordability crisis here in our state. And again, this bill aims to bring some additional tools to the table to create affordability throughout Minnesota. It addresses the full spectrum of housing from preservation up through market rate housing. Today in the Tax Committee, we're going to focus just on the tax-related provisions in the bill. So the legislature has long recognized that housing TIF districts are unique because of the nature of providing low-income housing that provides a significant public good without necessarily generating the largest increase in market value for a site. But by expanding housing supply, we can help Minnesotans in need, even if it doesn't come with the same type of expansion of property tax base that may happen in other types of TIF districts. That's why under current law rules around pooling and the increase in market value test, they've been more flexible for housing TIF districts. This bill, House File 743, would make a couple of very sensible changes that meet the spirit of the current law for housing TIF districts. It would increase but still retain levy limits currently placed on HRAs. It would add transfers of increment to a housing trust fund as an eligible use of increment for a housing authority. It would increase the percentage of increment, which all types of TIF districts may expend on housing expenditures, moving it from 10% to 15%, and then adding a transfer of increment to a housing trust fund as an authorized housing expenditure, and allowing all districts to expend up to 15% of their increment on that. So, you know, that's kind of a high-level overview of what's in the bill, and I think we've got a couple of testifiers who can, again, add a little bit more color to that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I see Mr. Lightfoot coming up. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Daniel Lightfoot with the League of Minnesota Cities. You have the tax team from the league here today, although I think I'm quickly becoming Mr. Jessen's sidekick rather than a lead dog here. So he's here if I need to phone a friend on any TIF issues. But I just want to thank Vice Chair Norris for his leadership on this bill. This bill is a very important piece of legislation for our 837 member cities across the state who are trying to utilize all the local levers that they have to address their unique locally identified housing needs in their cities, of which tax increment financing is a very important one. I won't spend any more time discussing what's in the bill because I think Vice Chair Norris did a great job. But I will mention that the expansion of the Local Housing Trust Fund increment transfer is based on some special legislation that was passed a couple sessions ago that just allowed three cities in the metro area to that authority temporarily. Those cities are Minnetonka, St. Louis Park, and Richfield, I believe. And so that provision would just expand the ability for any city that had a local housing trust fund to also have that authority as well. Those three cities, since having that authority, have done some really interesting things to assist with developments that are inclusive of deeply affordable housing. Primarily the issues that we run into is the gap between what it takes to have a 30% average median income project can often need some substantial local resources. So that, along with the meaningful expansions of TIF, I think are really important policies for this committee to consider, and thank you for the consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Lightfoot. Next up, Melissa Taphorn. Welcome to the committee. Please just say your name for the record as you're getting started with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Gomez and committee members. My name is Melissa Taphorn. I am the Executive Director of the Washington County Community Development Agency, and I also serve as the Legislative Chair for Minnesota NARA, which is the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials. Minnesota NARA is a membership organization, and our member agencies are over 150 housing and redevelopment authorities. We are in the front lines of this housing crisis, trying to promote strong and viable communities throughout Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in favor of House File 743. And my remarks are not going to be around TIF, but about the HRA levy limit. And also the expansion of our powers to include workforce housing, which is really important to our member agencies, particularly in Greater Minnesota. And the legislature has empowered housing and redevelopment authorities with a broad spectrum of programs to address our housing markets and a number of different tools. The most powerful of those is this special benefit levy. And the reason that that's so powerful is it's flexible, it's locally controlled, and it bolsters our local housing market. Our communities are not facing the same housing crisis, and we need to, and our solutions are very different on how we are tackling that. Some HRAs use their levy funds to create housing. Some of it are to provide down payment assistance and are tackling home ownership, and others are preserving and rehabilitating their homes. Our HRA levies, in addition to the expansion of the TIF, are the primary source of those local housing trust funds. For some HRAs, the special benefit levy is the only source of revenue, or the only source of revenue that's not dedicated and restricted to a particular project or program. The proposed increase to the levy provides the flexibility for local elected officials to fund a variety of programs that meet their pressing housing challenges when they determine it is needed. The increased rate is well-timed, as our overall housing needs are significant and there's much at stake for our communities and our employers across the state. Thank you, Mr. Norris, or Representative Norris, and the other authors for the inclusion of HRAs in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this bill? Not seeing any, I will move to member discussion. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just, I guess, this is a point of parliamentary inquiry here. Are we sending this off to property taxes after this?
The bill will be laid over.
And is there, we lost the property tax chair.
He yeah,
walked out of the room. So
he had to present a bill.
I was just going to ask why we wouldn't see this in the property tax committee. It talks about quite extensively taxable property within the taxing district, including houses and that kind of stuff. So I was just curious as to why we wouldn't send it there.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Olson. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. We were just conferring. I mean, basically, we had our final property tax hearing last night. We're building the division report, so it's sort of a timeline issue. Issues of TIF, we do send those bills over to the division, but ultimately all tax kind of topics are within the realm of the taxes committee. So I think if we, you know, there was sort of like the reason that we're meeting today actually is because these two, Representative Norris's two housing bills today were heard in the housing committee on Wednesday and referred to us. So we just got possession of them. So I think that your point is well taken that like, in a perfect world, we would be hearing these in property taxes instead, but it's kind of a timing crunch issue. Representative Olson.
Thank you for the answer. I accept your answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Excellent. That's great. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I need to get my arms around this because this is very extensive. But just on the TIF issue alone, this completely changes somewhat the purpose. You know, TIF is for redevelopment within a specific geographic area in an area that's needs redevelopment. This opens us wide up. And so, you know, on the face of it, I'm inclined to say it's a bad idea. But I need to actually read this bill because I think it's very extensive and I don't understand what's in it, rest of it. So thank you.
I mean, I'll just tell you, Representative Anderson, I was over here, actually, that was when I leaned over to my CA, I was like, oh, wow, this does some really major changes to TIF, and I think, I'll just tell you that, you know, I think that we have to really consider changes to TIF very carefully because of the implications for all of the, you know, local kind of functions that rely on property taxes, including cities, counties, and school boards. And so I appreciate that comment and want you to know that we're going to be very carefully considering this as we move forward, and I'm happy to talk more after you and I both kind of digest what's here, because you're right, it's a very long bill. I saw Mr. Lightfoot up there. I don't know if you had any thoughts you wanted to share.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. Appreciate that. And appreciate the comment. Just a point of clarification, housing TIF districts already do exist, so it's not an expansion of use. The provisions, at least from the district purpose, so there are redevelopment TIF districts, there are housing TIF districts. The expansion is the level of pooling that can be used outside the district for the purpose of housing. And then, of course, the change to the unobligated increment being transferred into a local housing trust fund. And appreciate the chair's comments about TIF changes. We do view these changes and changes that make this tool more flexible for housing to be really important for our local units of government, but certainly understand that some of this is complex, which is why we have two of us here today. So thank you for that.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. I'm well aware of TIF. I think you would have the schools and the counties in here protesting this in general, because this could be broad, very, very broad. Cities could use it and TIF just about anything and try to take the funds. And so it's lots to think about here. So,
yeah, absolutely. And so those that the pooling amount that's allowed is something that is defined in statute. And so that's specifically so that when people are seeking something beyond that, that they come in front of this body and we're able to deliberate and to think about it. And, you know, also, I mean, the other piece that Mr. Lightfoot lifted up, the transfer into an HRA is also, you know, a different use of it. So I appreciate those comments and the conversation. Does anyone else, any further discussion? Representative Howard.
Thank you, Chair Gomez, and thank you, Representative Norris. I think what I just wanted to add to the conversation here is I think in part because of how significant the housing crisis is in our communities and how under-resourced our communities are in terms of how to, when developers come to them to build housing, they're forced to look for creativity. And I think that's what this is born out of. You know, this committee heard my bill on local housing aid that would provide direct resources to cities and counties. I think in looking this holistically, the challenge for our local communities often is they know what's needed, there just isn't the resource there. And so we can look at multiple ways to look at it, but I certainly understand the purpose of our cities coming to us and saying, give us some more creative flexibility tools to address our needs. And so this is one way to look at it. I think there's other ways that we've heard too, but it's an important consideration that we listen to our cities and counties and either through resource or flexibility, give them more tools to address their local needs.
Thank you very much. Representative Smith.
Thank you. Sorry, I rushed back and missed most of the discussion, but I did just want to say that I represent Rochester, the biggest city outside of the metro, and this is something that we need desperately. This is not a prop. I just brought this with me, but this is our report on the need for housing that we did in 2020. It's big, it's thick, and there's a lot of problems that we need help dealing with, and so we're in very strong support of this. And I've heard from both the Director of Legislative Affairs from our county and from our city that this is an exciting opportunity, so I wanted to speak in support of it.
Thank you very much. Representative Elkins.
Just real quick, I mean, if this is included in our omnibus bill, we will get another bite of it when we hear the omnibus bill.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any further discussion? All right, seeing none, Representative Norris.
Thanks, Chair Gomez. And our housing chair took a lot of the words right out of my mouth, but you know, I think he makes a really good point that given the urgency and the scale of our housing crisis in our state, we got to look at some creative options. You know, this brings one idea to the table. This is also why we brought it to the tax committee, because I think the expertise in this committee is important to take a look at these provisions and see is this an appropriate way to do it, or do we need to make some changes? But I think the more tools we can bring to the table for addressing the affordable housing crisis in our state, the better.
Thank you very much. And Representative Norris renews his motion that House File 743 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and it is laid over. All right, that concludes our business today. Our next meeting is Tuesday, March 21st. As everybody's likely aware, the next 2 weeks are kind of going to be intense. They're going to be a little bit, we're not exactly certain about everything that's going to happen, but we have a lot of work to do in the next couple of weeks. So, we'll be in communication as soon as possible about any changes to schedule or about what we're up to. But please keep your eye on your inbox. And if you haven't had a Sambusa, please grab one on your way out. With that, we are adjourned. Have a good weekend, everybody.